Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. Recently I heard somebody say, and this has been, I think, a question for a lot of Christians. We're not going to do a normal message today. We're just going to ask a question and answer it. Where did the DNA come from? What is Jesus' DNA like? Divine DNA, what is it? We know Jesus had it because He was a man. All men have DNA. And so the question is, where did His DNA come from? And I think this is a worthwhile answer, a worthwhile question to examine and give an answer to, because there really is only one possibility if you examine the scriptures as to where that DNA came from. And we all know that it came from the Holy Spirit. But what was its nature? In other words, what was the DNA? And did Mary contribute DNA or not? Now we know that Jesus Christ was fully a man. We know that Jesus Christ was fully a man, and we know that Jesus Christ is fully God. He emptied Himself of deity. How can that be? Well, in order to understand the DNA of God, the DNA of the Son of God, the second person of the triune God, we know that He was divine. We know that He had no old sin nature. Now, that fact that He had no old sin nature tells us a great deal about the origin and the nature of His DNA. Now, I don't think any believer has problem understanding that the seed was by the Holy Spirit. This is what God told Mary, that which is born in you is by the Holy Spirit. And this is also what God told Joseph, that which is born in her was by the Holy Spirit. So we know that the seed came by the Holy Spirit. And seed in the original language, when you see the word seed, it often refers to sperm. Now, that interpretation is problematic. Why is that problematic? Well, that's what we're going to look at. Now, there's a number of ways that believers look at the DNA of God, divine DNA. One way they look at it is that, okay, Mary's egg had DNA, and so God provided a second source of DNA, much in the same way that a male provides sperm for a female without the actual act. Okay, that He implanted that portion of DNA into Mary's egg, and thereby she became pregnant. So we have to figure out, okay, where did this actually come from and how did it happen? Okay, well, there's a few possibilities. Okay, number one is that, okay, God simply created the complementary DNA that the sperm would normally provide, so God simply created that within her. Or somehow supplied that within her, because He is God and He could work a miracle, and certainly the virgin birth was a miracle, and He can do that. And yes, He can do that. If God so chose, He could have done that. He certainly would have the ability. But that's not what He did. How do I know this? I know this because Jesus didn't have an old sin nature. So in order to really understand this, we have to understand, okay, where does the old sin nature come from? Well, by one man's sin entered into the world, right? This is what the Bible tells us, that it was by one man. We know that the old sin nature came down from Adam through the generations. This is why in our ministry and others, it's called the Adamic nature. Okay, and so we know that the sin nature originated with Adam during the fall. Now, the only thing that is passed from one generation to the next would be DNA. So, Adam's DNA became imperfected. It was perfect and it became imperfect. And in that imperfection, something happened whereby there developed an inheritable sin nature. Right? All have sinned. We are born in sin. Okay, now, there is sort of a religious mentality for a certain ecumenical group that thinks we are born in sin means that because sex is required for conception, that is sin. But God designed sex. That's not sin in the right context. Sex within the marital union is God's design. That's not sin. Outside of the union, absolutely it's sin. But within the context of the union, it's not sin. And so, we know that that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the fact that the old sin nature is passed on through the generations. The only thing that is passed on through the generations is nuclear DNA. Now, there is also another source of DNA. It's mitochondrial DNA. In other words, all the materials that I receive, as far as machinery goes, mitochondria, endoplasmic reticulum, Golgi apparatus, microfilaments, cytoskeleton, the whole nine yards, ribosomes, the whole nine yards, that I get from the mother. Okay, that's passed along from the mother. Okay, so we know that Mary had a sin nature. Okay, unlike a certain group that says, and some of them say she was sinless. No, she called Christ her Savior. She was obviously a sinner. Only sinners need saviors. And so we know that Mary had a sin nature. I'm not saying she was a wicked woman. I think she was probably a wonderful woman of God. You know, beautifully responsive and tremendously humble, but a sin nature just like all the rest of us. And so we know it couldn't have been through the mitochondrial DNA, okay, that it's passed on, because that means that there would be those who wouldn't actually have a sin nature. And Jesus would have a sin nature because he had mitochondrial DNA. Okay, so we know it wasn't mitochondrial DNA. So, because Jesus did not have a sin nature and he did have mitochondria, it couldn't have been that as the source that transmits. It has to be nuclear DNA that transmits the old sin nature. Those are the only two sources of DNA in us. Okay, so let's take a look at what goes on with nuclear DNA. In normal sexual reproduction, and by sexual reproduction, of course, I mean in the biological sense, not in the common phraseology, but I don't mean sex, I mean two cells required. In normal sexual reproduction, each gamete is haploid. That means it has only a single copy of the DNA as opposed to two copies of the DNA. Okay, so let's know, 23 human chromosomes versus 46 human chromosomes. So let's take a look at that. First of all, God does not reproduce. God reproduces himself, his image in us, but none of us is God. God does not reproduce. Even the Savior was not a reproduction of the Father. The Savior always was. We know this from the Word of God. The Savior always was. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is talking about Christ. When there is the definitive article, then you are the angel, or as opposed to an angel, then it's talking about Christ. So we know that Christ always was. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Okay, so we know that he is not a reproduction of the Father. That he is actually God in his fullness is God. Okay, so God doesn't need gametes because God does not reproduce. And certainly even if he had, like, who would he reproduce with? There is no mommy and daddy God. Like, God is one. And so I don't believe that God actually even would possess them in that sense. So where did it come from? Well, it could be that Jesus had half of Mary's DNA, just like any other offspring would have half of his mother's DNA. That could happen. Jesus could have half of Mary's DNA and half of a divine DNA. God could do it that way, but he didn't. How do I know that? Because Mary had an old sin nature. So long as Mary had an old sin nature, that sin nature was in her genes. So Jesus would have received half of his DNA from Mary. And so he would have had an old sin nature. We can't say that that separates, because there are homologous chromosomes that separate in meiosis. And so we can't say it would have separated out the sin nature, because then you wouldn't have actually had homologous chromosomes. And that means that no, he wouldn't have actually been a fully, in that sense, a man with a fully human origin in that way. So where did it come from? Well, there's really only one possibility. Christ did not have Mary's DNA. Christ had only the DNA of God. In other words, both homologs, both sets of the 23 chromosomes as they pair up to make the 46 pair of, you know, the 23 pairs into the 46, both of them came from the Holy Spirit. Had to. Because otherwise Christ would have had an old sin nature. Now, that's not that difficult. Scientists know how to make that happen today. It is possible to remove someone's genetic material and implant into an egg new genetic material from a fully functional cell, where you don't have haploid, half the content, 23 as opposed to 46 chromosomes, but you have diploid, the full 46. You can remove the haploid DNA from the egg and insert diploid DNA from another cell, doesn't have to be a reproductive cell, any cell, and have that egg become functional. And this is what I believe what happened with the Holy Spirit and Jesus. That God removed Mary's DNA, inserted divinely created DNA, the full complement, all 46 chromosomes into Mary's egg. But here's the thing, how was he fully human then? Because Mary had the human machinery to produce the human. So Christ really was fully God and fully man. Because the machinery that produced Christ was human machinery. God inserted perfect DNA into Mary, removed her own imperfect DNA because she was a fallen human just like the rest of us humans. And now you had a perfect man, created by the woman's machinery that's present in her egg, expressing perfect DNA, but in a human form. Now the form is determined by the genetics, not by the machinery. So if God created perfect DNA for a perfect man who was in fact the Son of God. Now keep in mind that we are told that we are created in the image of God and in His likeness. Often we look at that as the image of God simply being something of a character issue or a metaphysical almost type of an issue, but it's not. Not exclusively. There is a component of that where it actually gives the appearance. We know that Christ is forever in heaven. We know that He existed before time began, and through Him all things were created. And so perhaps what He created, and I believe that this is in fact the case, is for us to actually look like Him. Not just in character and essence, but also in physical appearance. We know this is true because when He was born, when His expression came to earth, He looked like a man. And when Stephen saw Him in heaven, He looked like a man. And when John saw Him in the Revelation, He also had the form of a man. And so we know that in heaven, and He is eternal, He is in a human appearance, albeit God. And so what we are seeing is God actually making Himself, God making us to look like Him and thereby he could actually have divine DNA implanted into a human egg and create a perfect man who is fully God and fully man, empties himself of his deity because his omnipotence could override his humanity. Remember that I and the Father are one, Jesus said, that there is no difference between God the Son and God the Father. When in John 14 Philip says, "Show us the Father," he says, "Philip, have I been so long with you that you would say, 'Show us the Father, show me the Father'?" In other words, Philip, you've already seen the Father if you've seen the Son. And that's another discussion as to the nature of the Trinity. But divine DNA simply came in its entirety from God. Because any other way, Christ would have had an alternate nature. And we know that he did not. So that's the only option. It's if he's still going to be human. That's the only option.